Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We just got a call from Michael over at Pete's. We were just talking to him. Hope his back, man. Michael, I hope you are, he's going through a
lot of pain. Dude, beat cancer twice, a broken back.
Yeah.
Like, probably, now he's Lamar Consolidated High School, so it's not a surprise he's one of the toughest people that's ever lived. But he really is, man. He's going, he gets injections just to get the bone strong enough so he can have another surgery.
Mm.
Like, and this guy, all he does is work. And for Thanksgiving and Christmas, he wouldn't, like, everyone there is begging him, take time. Don't, Michael. He goes, it's too busy. So he'd be in there, you know, he has to, like, sit in a special chair and lay down trying to get, but the guy won't, like, his customers are that important to him. Said, I got to be there for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah. And he's there for the big game on Sunday as well. So
yeah, I'm going to run by. Yeah. Beef short ribs. Beef short ribs and the he's got special prices on the tomahawk steaks.
Wow.
Yeah, the tomahawks are what he's putting a special price on them. The Wagyu tomahawks.
Those are awesome.
Wagyu
tomahawks. We love Michael. And Michael, please, hopefully your back will
go support our guy. Yeah, he is. He's got some.
You want meat? Best meat in the city.
You know the best way to do? I actually did this. The best way to do it is you can get a slab. You can buy the slab.
Yeah, and cut your own steaks.
Yeah. Yeah, and cut your own steaks. It's like the price plummets.
Yeah, right.
On that. That's, and you can cut to the thickness you want. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So get on over there. Michael, we're wishing you the best with that back, buddy. Let's get, I don't want to hear it again. Is he still saying it? Is he really?
There was a break of maybe 25 seconds where I thought either he wore down or the person decided to stop playing this, but it came back.
That's just so.
Do we need to call over there?
Well, I think people on Twitch are calling, but
yeah, call Sharpview. Somebody call Sharpview and say Gilbert in, I don't know, what room was he in?
I don't remember. They know. They know who he is.
Yeah, they know who Gilbert is. Everybody
you
does.
Guys know that Gilbert needs a nurse, right? Yeah. There's no way you're not hearing this. Isn't there a button he can push?
I would imagine there is. There has to be.
I mean, it's not a hospital, but yeah, I would think so. I don't know. Maybe let's just get a phone number and maybe we do call.
Yeah. No, well, somebody on Twitch, you guys are not happy about all this. Call Sharpview. That's all. Call up there and say, hey, you guys hear Gilbert in there? Because he's on the radio needing a nurse. Okay. So somebody give a call up there. Yeah, you know, what a game Jalen Hurts had against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and that fumble is just a haunt.
He was great.
He was awesome.
He was great. I watched the replay. I'm like, holy crap, Jalen was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd forgotten how good he was there.
And he just dropped that ball, and the Chiefs scored, and that was the game. That was the difference in the game.
Oh.
So, you know, Adam Schefter just said first team. I don't think first team. I'll say this. Last team to commit a turnover loses this game. Last team to commit a turnover loses this game.
Is that one of the props?
No. Adam Schefter said first team. I'm going to say this. Last team to commit a turnover.
Yeah.
The last one is the most important.
See, this is how I think it's going to go. Like, Philadelphia is going to do what they do offensively, but it's going to be tougher. Well, the question you first have to ask yourself is, who's going to do a better job? Is it going to be Vic Fangio? And what does Vic Fangio need to do defensively? Like, if you're
stop Kelsey.
Well, if you're
crying out loud,
Kelsey,
don't
really
let him have 100 catches, Nico, D'Amico.
I don't think Kelsey's the key to the game anymore, like he used to be.
Well, he was against the Texans. Too.
Yeah, that's the Texans, though. I mean, he is. Is it literally just about stopping Kelsey? Is it about keeping Patrick Mahomes in the pocket? Is it about, you know, it's harder for me to get there because Kelsey's not the same factor he once was, although he has played better. for me, you know, for Spagnuolo, it's simply how do you slow down Saquon Barkley? That's it. How do you force Jalen Hurts to beat you and not Saquon Barkley? What do you do to stop Saquon Barkley? The easy answer is you go eight in a box, and you add late add-ons. You make it look like you're a cover. You make it look like a kind of a standard split safety alignment, and then before the snap, one guy goes single high and one guy goes down into the box as a late add-on. So you don't show eight man in a box, but then you post snap your eight man in a box. That's, you know, if they take Saquon Barkley away, can Jalen Hurts can they take him away? If Saquon Barkley gets 94 yards, is that still a win for Philadelphia? Could be, depending on what it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a shootout, but it's got that possibilities. A lot of people like the under, and you like Philadelphia.
I like the under too.
Luke makes a pretty good point. Is it any surprise that the two coordinators are Italian in the Super Bowl? Do you need an Italian defensive coordinator to make it to the Super Bowl?
Maybe
the answer is yes.
Yes, you just don't want them as head coaches. They're not capable, qualified to be head coaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don Shula,
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Oh, Mormon.
Oh, bang, really?
Isn't bang. Sirianni Italian?
Yeah, Sirianni.
He is. He is no. Turkish. Turkey.
No,
they call it
Sirianni. You make it to the Super Bowl. You win it.
You have to be. You know, why can't you keep your mouth shut, Del? Yeah.
Well,
look what you just did.
Well, you sounded
just because it's Val. Guess what?
Thank you, Del.
You sounded also, very silly when the guy in question wears an Italian flag on his hat while he's out there.
I know. I hadn't thought that through. I just thought, oh, Mormon, and I work my way to the other coach quickly enough. And why is it that we just have, like, is there somebody, is he prejudiced for Italians where all he'll do is have his team full of Italian? First, he gets a bunch of white defensive backs, which is a classic Italian move. Like, hey, we're taking care of our people first, just like in Do the Right Thing, the pizza place with Tortoro and Danny, whatever. You know how they were very racist, this Italian pizza place and Do the Right Thing in Spike Lee's movie. But also, you know, and they had that big argument about athletes and sports, right? Well, now you have an Italian head coach who hires an Italian defensive coordinator, immediately drafts a bunch of white guys to play in the secondary. Something doesn't smell right about this.
How about this? Two, I mean, all these white defensive backs in the Super Bowl?
There's a nickname for that they have for them.
Whitey?
No, it's pretty funny. I saw something. They've got hype videos for these two. Like, first of all, Reed Blankenship's got a lot of seasoning to him. I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen any of those videos, Del? Reed is doing the cooking out. Reed Blankenship is, number one, he went to, like, MTSU, Middle Tennessee State. There's going to be some flavor at Middle Tennessee. If you're a DB at Middle Tennessee State, you got some. There's brand new flavor in your ear. And then number two, they show him dancing like after interceptions and stuff. That Philadelphia fans love Reed Blankenship, and even the non-white fans, not just, of course, the Philadelphia fans. I love Reed Blankenship. I mean, of course, they're, you know, you want to fight over it? I'm like, no, we don't want to fight all the time, Philadelphia fan. Let's just fight. I got Cooper DeJean. Take your cornerback and let's have a fight. Like, what are you talking about? What are we fighting over this time, Philadelphia fan? Let's let our kids fight then. Can we just, sir, we're here at a Chuck E. Cheese. We don't have to fight. Okay, Philadelphia fan?
Oh, really, Lance?
No, historically, when's the last time you had white corner, white safety?
When's the last time you had Vince Lombardi, Italian?
Oh,
Tommy Lasorda.
Keep coming with the dead guys. Yeah, dead. Well, yeah, dead. All you're doing is bringing up old dead guys. Well, no.
Italians, the greatest of the game.
They were great in the 50s.
Yeah, great.
In the 60s. Yeah. You had a good run. It's over.
We had a great.
We need Sirianni to lose.
Oh, Sirianni.
I need Reed to win now. Now I need Kansas City to win. Oh, my God. There's another Italian.
That's Spagnuolo. Well, as I said, two defensive coordinators. Fangio and Spagnuolo.
Who's the OC? Matt Nagy.
He ends in a vowel.
No.
Yeah.
That's not Italian.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably like
Thank you.
Amsterdam or something.
He's not from Amsterdam or something.
His family
Where
is.
Are the Zadoks from?
I don't know. The Zadok, I got a rundown on the history. I was there, and it, like, they're their diamond production or not production, but their the sales of the fine diamonds goes way, way, way back for Zadig. Now, here in Houston, they have been off Post Oak Boulevard for over four decades, and they had a location that was further down, and they left that after three and a half decades, and they moved to this new location that's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard that is unbelievable. There's an Uchiko restaurant there, you know, great sushi restaurant. They've got some great restaurants in the spot, coffee there, and of course they've got Zadig Jewelers, which is the crown jewel, 28,000 square feet, and right now is one of the Super Bowls of jewelry. It's for Valentine's Day, and a lot of men decide to wait until Valentine's Day to get engaged. So if you are doing that, might I suggest their incredible diamond engagement rings with a variety of different settings, a variety of different stones, a variety of different bands with different metals that are going to be the hot metals, you know, whatever she's going to absolutely love. And if it's not diamond engagement rings, because that can take you basically from start to finish on the engagement process over at Zadig, you know, tennis bracelets, earrings, something simple, a diamond pendant, necklaces, they will find the right gift for her for Valentine's Day to show her how special she is and how much she means to you. And it always works. They are so good at finding the best gifts and making your wife or girlfriend so impressed with you for Valentine's Day. And once again, if you're getting engaged for Valentine's Day, don't screw this up. Go to Zadig Jewelers. It's 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Online, go to Zadig.com.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 820-713-780-3776. You've got anything that you want to talk about. Anything about the big game. It's big game weekend. Okay. Our Rockets, we haven't talked about them in a little while. In about an hour because, well, they just have sucked lately. And especially they sucked in the fourth quarter. It has been awful, awful, awful. Cannot play in the fourth quarter lately. Last five games, they're finding a way to lose. And last night, the way they lose, just let Anthony Edwards go off. 35-16 was the fourth quarter tally. Anthony Edwards with 41 points on 11 of 25 shooting. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Anthony Edwards is the real deal. It's tough to stop Anthony Edwards. I don't think there's any question about that. But it was just too easy. It was just way too easy. The Rockets actually shot 49%. They hit 38, almost 39% of their three-point shots.
Yeah.
That was good. They were playing well offensively. And then 16, a stinker in the fourth quarter. 16 in the fourth quarter. Just terrible. Couldn't hit anything.
They just get so out of rhythm so easily. It's like, this has been going on from well before these five-game losing streak. In the fourth quarter, and I'm not saying
they won a game where they gave up 19 straight points in the fourth quarter they gave up and still won the game.
Yeah, just in the fourth quarter, they have a tendency to, when things go a little tough, individually they think, all right, I'm going to pull us out of this. And it's admirable that you have that kind of confidence, but instead of going and getting the best shots possible, instead of going and trying to, you know, I just think they have a tendency to become less efficient through choice. They don't mean to be less efficient, but they take more difficult shots. They don't let shots come to them. They try to force shots. That's the best way to say it. They don't let offense come to them. They try to force it. Sometimes in the fourth quarter when you have a lead, guys, you don't have to get shots up in the first 5 seconds of the clock. It's okay to keep looking and searching and probing and get it down inside of 7 seconds if that's what it takes to find a good shot. You've got lots of guys who can. Cam Whitmore, Amen Thompson, Jalen Green can all win off the bounce. Every single one of those can get by their, you know, can get by their defender and get into the paint. All three of them. So there's really no reason to panic too much. Just be calm. See if you can get the defense to break down a little bit. Penetrate and look for interior passes instead of just penetrate and dish, you know, out for 3-point looks sometimes. But they don't let the offense come to them, and they're not stopping anyone on defense. They've allowed 36 points a game in the fourth quarter over the last three games. And frankly, that's not even taking into account a couple of 40-point fourth quarters that they've allowed this year, which is insane. Insane. So it just doesn't make sense. It's completely out of character for this team over the first three quarters to become that quarter, that team in the fourth quarter. Yep. It just doesn't make any sense.
Cody Zeller make a big difference?
No.
What do you mean?
No, what is it? All you've done, by the way, did you see they cut Jaden? What's his, they waived.
Well, they just picked up the money. They just.
I thought, but there was talk that he was actually going to.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I mean, all they did was just get a second or flip-flop second or something.
Well,
they had money.
They had
cap space.
They did that. And they, cut him. Cody Zeller beat it. You're not going to be here either. You know, I don't know. They're just paying more people. They just want to pay more people, I guess. Yeah.
Well, they'll have to pay them.
Yeah, you take them into your cap. You get paid off in second-round picks, and that's what they're doing. They're not going to play these guys. They're just
They're building up second-round picks?
Yeah, they're helping teams who want to avoid tax.
That's all it is.
Paying the tax, and they get a second-round pick for their troubles.
Yeah.
And Tillman gets to pay those guys extra millions?
No.
Not extra millions. It's prorated, and Jaden Springer wasn't a high-salary guy. He'll get waived, and whatever is whatever. But it's the second-round pick stuff that they're trying to gather.
Defensive. Hey, we could have used him last night on Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have worked out great for Jaden Springer.
Yeah.
They pissed off Anthony Edwards. Jayshon Tate got after him. Dylan Brooks got after him. It was a little scrappy in that game. Jock Landale didn't like that Naz Reid ripped the ball away from him after a tie-up, and that turned into technical fouls because Rudy Gobert got involved. They wanted to be physical with Anthony Edwards, and he took it personally in the fourth quarter.
He really did. I hate lighting a fire under that dude. Holy crap. He can score. Let's get James in here. He wants to talk about his Rockets. Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? Go ahead, James. There he is.
You need a nurse.
Anthony Edwards is the closest thing to Michael Jordan right now as far as when you watch him play, he looks the same. That being said, the Rockets, for the last week, the guys have looked down like they're worried. They're not smiling. They're not laughing. I think it was because of the trade deadline. They were worried about is it the team getting broken up. Last night was much better, but they need Van Vliet to run the ship.
Yeah, they need Van Vliet. You know, the trade deadline ended yesterday afternoon, so there was no excuse for it last night for what they did.
Do you think but there hadn't been any – well, here's why I don't know about that. Number one, the GM and the head coach can address that internally with the team. Like, none of you guys are going anywhere. We're not doing anything. But they could have said that, and it wouldn't have been a lie. And number two,
if they didn't. But they might not have. You don't know.
So who was the rumored player that was going to be gone?
Well,
there were none.
Well, no, but there was talk about Durant. There was talk about.
There was no public talk about any
Booker,
of the Rockets.
About Giannis. So if you get Booker, Giannis, they're coming, then Giannis big name
Rockets,
players are leaving.
Giannis to Rockets talk. No one. That hasn't been a thing for a month and a half to 2 months.
He had that tweet that everyone got excited about.
You mean they had already lost three in a row by then, or four in a row?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Like, that's not. Yeah, but, I don't think it's it. They're not playing in a fourth. What? They were just fine, and then they remembered in the fourth quarter.
I don't really buy into that theory.
I might get traded up.
Well, the trade deadline was over.
I just can't play in the fourth.
Well, you heard what.
The fourth has been an issue throughout the trade deadline.
E-mate spoke quite a bit about the fourth, but he also talked about it's pretty nice to have a guy you can just go to and they can go get a bucket. So when we talk about. They shouldn't break up the team, and I'm with you. Unless you get a younger star, I'm not talking about trading for some old guy. You can see the seams of the team come apart and why someone in that organization may be looking for a star. Because you saw a star pull up last night. Yes, I mean, Amen's been big upped, and there's people talk about how he's untouchable. Jalen Green has his deal when he's hot for five games out of a season. Obviously, Alperen's a solid player. He's an all-star. But you see there are levels to this. And the Rockets are young. Maybe one of those guys will get there. But you saw what a star does when he's needed. Anthony Edwards was the best player on that floor for the last 8 minutes of that game, and no Rocket could touch him.
Well, that's what it looked like.
He was the best player on that
all game,
court
but,
for 48
but for, particularly when the game mattered.
Yeah.
He was – no one could touch his stratosphere.
Is he better without Cat?
Well, the team's not so far.
No, but you never know if it, how it's going to
– I don't think it has any,
if they'll get better in the postseason.
That dude was amazing last year with Cat. He's as close as I've seen to Michael Jordan.
Yeah. He's got the same moves, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the mentality and everything. Like, he's still got a long way to go, but he has a lot of that. And, of course, then the conspiracy theories, because that's where we are. It's like, there's a chance that Michael's his actual father, and people have tried to
kind of looks like him.
Put things together. Oh, I know. That's part of the conspiracy.
We'll see. They made the conference finals last year, so they're pretty good with Cat.
They're real good with Cat.
So we'll see what happens. Julius Randle didn't play last night, and Anthony Edwards took it upon himself after they lit a fire under him to light them up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And you need one of those with the Rockets. And I think it's probably internally on the team. I really thought it was going to be Şengün. And he's not – I know he's an all-star this year, but he's not really a take-over-the-game guy. At any point in the stage, like, does that have to come from the wing other than Jokic? And a lot of times Jokic does it from – you know, Jokic will do it from high screen and rolls. He'll do it from – the elbow extended, he'll do it from the free throw line. You know, it's not from the post anymore. Right? It hasn't been for years for big men. Jokic is one of the only big men I know that can take over a game late in a game. It almost feels like it has to come from a wing. And if that's the case, then Alpi's never going to be a take over the game guy.
Yeah, it's difficult because you can game plan. And if Alper Şengün's not going to be the passer that Jokic is, then if he struggles with doubles, that's a problem. I mean, the NBA has trended that way for years, where you need a wing, you need a lead guard to be your best player, unless you're Jokic or Giannis, but Giannis plays on the perimeter as well. I don't know about a center. I don't know if Alpi's that guy. I think he can be a really good perennial all-star possibly, but as far as get the ball to him, but the caveat always is he's 23 years old. I don't know what he'll be in 5 years when he's in his prime, 22, 23. I'm not gonna put a ceiling on him just yet. But it's like unlikely it'll be him. It'll probably be a wing that they acquire or a guard that they acquire if it's not already on the roster.
All right, let's break it here. 713-780-3776. If you got anything that you want to bring to the show, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm talking about Gulf Coast Windows. I'm talking about the best windows in the market. I'm talking about your replacement windows or if you're building. I don't care what you're building, what kind of building that you're building. If it's a business or if it's a residential, you want Gulf Coast Windows. You want the best windows you can get. How about hurricane windows, wood-clad windows, aluminum windows? They've got double pane, double strength. They've got all the windows you could possibly need. Doors, from French doors to sliding doors, whatever it is that your business is looking for, you've got it at GulfCoastWindows.com. GulfCoastWindows.com, Jim Fiume. There's a reason that you go with Jim Fiume. There's a reason that you go with Gulf Coast Windows, because Gulf Coast Windows has been doing this for 40 years now in the city of Houston, and they're considered the best, the pinnacle award from the Better Business Bureau. You don't get that. You just don't get that unless you're the best, unless you take care of business, you take care of your clients, you got the best quality, and you got the best installation, best service you can get. It happens every day. So if you're in the market, it's a big ticket buy now, replacing your windows. So do it with the best. Why put in something that's inferior? GulfCoastWindows.com, 713-849-5454. Tell them you heard it here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
If you like fishing, I got something for you. It's the 50th annual fishing show from February 12th through the 16th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, reels, and lures, factory reps will be there. Guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats, and hundreds of kayaks, plus continuous clinics by expert fishermen that covers salt and fresh water, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways. If you love the fish or you just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 50th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com. So we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Caller 5 at 840. Caller 5 at 840 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the 50th annual fishing show at George R. Brown Convention Center.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We got a caller in there. Who is that? I can't see the name, though.
It's Chris.
Okay, Chris.
Chris in the Woodlands.
Oh, Chris in the Woodlands. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? Hey, yeah. I had to hop off earlier. I had a work call, but before I get to my question about the Rockets, has Gary called in this morning yet? Did I miss his call maybe with Lance talking about Josh Allen over Lamar and then commenting on Amen's hair?
No.
Gary did not get a call from Gary.
No, he hasn't. All right, cool. All right, well, I didn't know if I missed this. I just wanted to check. Hey, my Rockets question, I will say I've watched him a lot more this year, obviously with ending better and with Amen and all those things. Didn't we bring in Dylan Brooks to be our defensive kind of like test? And y'all usually see highlight videos and getting under people's skin, but like, I don't feel like that happens when it comes to Brunson or Edwards or those guys. Like, I mean, I know we're pointing to Ime, maybe Lane to run up conditioning, which I think is a good point for a young team, but like, wasn't Dylan Brooks supposed to be the guy that we put on these wings and other players to like really get in their head and piss them off and, you know, just kind of cause them to stress? I don't feel like he does that, you know? So anyway, that was my thought, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he is supposed to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point. He's supposed to be the guy that is the disruptor. And it can't just be about getting chippy and trying to, like, it can't just be being an irritant with your physical actions and stuff like that. It's got to also be about on-the-ball defense. You can't just be, oh, man, I'm going to get in this guy's head because I'm going to be an a-hole and make him think about me, and I'm going to pinch him when he tries to get over screens, and I'm going to get in his face and stare him down. And what also has to be, and I'm going to make it difficult for him to go right with his dribble, and I'm going to crowd him on jump shots. Like, it has to be that, too. It has to be one of the ways you're a defensive specialist and irritant is being really good on defense. It can't just be about being an a-hole and throwing guys off their game. So, yeah, Dylan Brooks is supposed to be that. Well, you know, I don't – look, you have Amen Thompson, who's supposed to be that too, because he's long. He is a good defender typically, and these times he's really, really good. Neither one of those guys have been able to get important stops in the fourth quarter, though. Not enough.
No, not getting – no one's playing. No one's playing well enough. That's it, period. all right, Hall of Famers named last night. Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates – Jared Allen, Eric Allen. Bigger deal, those guys getting in or Eli not getting in?
Well, bigger deal nationally, it's Eli not getting in. Not for me. I've never thought he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
So he's a Hall of, I wouldn't even say Hall of very good. He's a Hall of good. He's a Hall of average.
Two Super Bowl MVPs.
I don't care. I know. His career matters too.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to be rescued. One of the Super Bowls he won when he was rescued for the year by his defense. So I get that two Super Bowl wins, two Super Bowl MVPs. Number one, if you're a quarterback, you have a really good chance of winning the Super Bowl MVP. Had a great catch. A great catch, right? What's his name made the catch on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the best pass, but made a great catch on his head.
He was under pressure. It was a good play.
Yeah, but the Brady game. How do you think Eli
put that pass along the sideline was a perfect pass in the second game?
Who even knows what you're talking about?
Mario Manningham.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. Y'all, I've got too many players. My hard drives. I can't that play in this, that pass in the second game. I don't even know what that means.
That means a beautiful throw on the sideline to Manningham to win the game.
Good for him. You know what his record is? 117-117 as a starter.
Oh, Hall of Fame. Yeah, well.
He's 500. He's got a 500 record, and some of it has been him.
Yeah, but quarterbacks historically that get to the Super Bowl.
He led the league in interceptions three times in his career with 20, 25, and 27. He had 27 interceptions in 2013. What Hall of Fame quarterback ever had 18 touchdowns and 27 interceptions since 2000? I mean, look, and he followed up with a 30-14, which is pretty good. 35-14, which is really good.
Peyton had a terrible
26-16, 19-13. Like, he got better. I mean, he had his years where he threw touchdowns. It wasn't all terrible.
Well, the year that he won the Super Bowl, I think he was 19-19. He was not good. He was at one point he was 19-19. They were going to bench him, and then
ended up 23-20.
Yeah, he ended up. He was 19-19 at one point.
He led the nation in interceptions with 20, though.
Yeah, and that was their first Super Bowl, and they were going to bench him.
I mean, the interception totals are astonishingly high, and I already know this. This is why I made Jameis Winston's comp Eli Manning. When my first NFL draft, one of my proudest comps, NFL comps, Dell would be very proud of it. It was a racial crossover.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, Eli Manning.
Okay.
Primarily for all the interceptions.
Is Jameis considered a Hall of Famer right now?
No, he did have 30 touchdowns 1 year.
He did, and he had 30 interceptions.
Yeah, but that's the part that we don't need to talk about.
Well, no, we do.
But it's called symmetry.
Mm, no.
And that's what I like about Jameis.
It's called 30-30, which in baseball is good.
Yeah, it's good in baseball.
Yeah, it's bad in as a quarterback.
I don't know if it's ever been done.
Yeah.
Other than him.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it has.
I don't know that it's ever, yeah.
Or ever will be done again.
I'm going to try to find how Eli did in those Super Bowls, playoffs, because I'm curious about what his games were. I mean, he was MVP, so it must have been really, really good, I would assume. Let's see. Your Super Bowl, New England. He was 30 of 40 for 296 yards and a touchdown. All right.
That's great.
Yeah. All right.
75%, almost 300 yards and a touchdown? That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then in the other one right here, he was 19 of 34, 255 yards, two touchdowns and an interception.
Not bad. Yeah. That's a good game.
Well, it was the year he was 23 and 20, so yeah. He actually played better. You know, it's interesting. Now, you have to just account for Eli's interceptions being a common problem. But after his after that season where he had more interceptions than touchdowns, 18 to what, 25, and they were looking for a new quarter, 18 to 27, 18 touchdowns to 27, 18 touchdowns, 27 interceptions. That was 2013. After that, they were 6-10. He had 30 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. You know, it just, he was a career 60% passer. His interception total of over 3% is extraordinarily high. His touchdown to interceptions, not even 2-1. There's nothing about his career. The only argument you can make, the only argument is Super Bowl. That's it. There is nothing about his regular seasons that are even remotely close to Hall of Fame. And it's not just me, and I've been on this train forever about no Eli. And obviously Hall of Fame voters, at least in ballot one, agree with me.
Yeah, I agree too. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. You know when you're watching a Hall of Famer, I think.
Yeah, never at any point you go, this guy's special.
Well, I've said he's special, but not in that way.
You know, if you are, don't. Wendy's still trying. Here he is, trying to get back to Houston. He really likes it here.
Well,
he's been here.
Not
he's been
only me,
golf.
Didn't Jay Moore say?
Yeah, but that's a comedian.
Yeah.
You're the husband of the woman who runs
Los Angeles.
Got just
a touch. Yeah.
He didn't get the good genes. Peyton did.
Peyton did.
Although, Peyton's not handsome. He's just a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a really good quarterback.
Eli's the better looking of the two.
Hmm.
Yeah, Eli is.
Is he?
Yeah, is look he? At Peyton.
Cooper. Cooper's the one that got the looks in the family.
Yeah, and he got Arch.
And he got Arch.
He got the most athletic of all the Mannings.
Yeah, how about that? Well, Cooper was the most athletic
of those three. So yeah. It makes sense that his son should be the best athlete. Yeah. They say he's a big boy, too.
Who? You know, Arch?
Arch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arch is well put together. He's a big boy. He looks the part of like an Andrew Luck kind of.
Well, that's why they wanted him running instead of Quinn Ewers throwing and at the end of the game.
They had him running. He looked like he got concussed against Ohio State.
Ooh, was it Arizona State?
Oh.
No.
Wait.
No. It was the.
No, who was it that got laid out so bad?
He almost fumbled.
Oh, no, that was Sam Levitt.
Remember, he was a.
Levitt.
Sam Levitt that got his wig split. And what game was that where Sam Levitt's face almost got taken?
No, Arch nearly. It was a bang bang, whether it's a fumble or not. And it looked like Arch might have got dinged up.
Yeah.
You remember that play?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His whole helmet got
flipped
around.
Yeah. But don't run Arch as much as you think you should. As you
no, no, no.
Just
no.
Let him throw the football.
You're thinking of Georgia's backup quarterback.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay,
yeah, you're thinking about Gunnar Stockton.
Gunnar Stockton. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Gunnar is the one who I thought. Well, his eyes rolled back. Like, and then they had to bring in Carson Beck with his droopy arm before he. And he did his last thing that he did was win an SEC championship
for an SEC championship.
He won an SEC. He made a play at the end to win an SEC championship.
He took a snap and handed it off.
But courageously. because his arm was hurt.
Well, he was the starter.
And you know what? His arm got hurt because they said, you know what we should do is really screw this clock management up and then try an impossible throw and let him get his whole arm ripped out of socket. Let's see how that works.
Yep. Taco Reyes Aranis is here.
I know. Tell me you have a something to
talk about. I have to talk about Access. I want to talk about Access.
That's vascular. Right.
I want to talk about Doc Menavise. I love talking about Doc Menavise. I love what she does for us. And we're older gentlemen, right? And we need prostate help. If you're going to the bathroom a lot, up and down at night, if you can't start, can't stop, weak stream, all of these things could well mean that you have an enlarged prostate. Let Doc Menavise take an MRI. She's got a process. She finds out whether or not, you know, if it's cancerous, then you need a different process, okay? So if it's cancerous, that's a different deal. But if it's not, if it's just enlarged, Doc Menavise is here for you. Doc Menavise just gives you an IV. 45 minutes later, she wants you to hang around for about a half hour. So that's an hour and 15 minutes, right? That's basically a long lunch. And you don't have an enlarged prostate anymore. No pain. Just putting in the IV. That's it. That's it. That's all the pain that there is. You're looking for the best way to get that rid of that enlarged prostate, to lower that prostate, to make it smaller. One way to do it. 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's freezing in here. Not surprisingly, Taquerias Arandas knows how to make tacos really well. So for the next, I don't know, you guys need to call in because Lance will be eating. But ESPN has established the rules yesterday on their television show. They were all at the desk, all eating, Del. Okay?
Nonstop.
And yeah, so ESPN is the leader.
Food.
Are they not the leader? Sports leader?
That's what they tell me.
Worldwide.
Look at
right
eating.
They're eating right
they're
now.
They're eating right now.
Look at this. They're gumbo and boys.
We don't actually see them eating. We see food in front of them, but
no, they're eating.
They haven't taken a bite yet.
Yesterday they did.
Oh, yesterday or they were eating on the air. Yeah.
And you want to be like
never do that.
You want to be like Mike Greenberg?
No, Lance does.
Oh.
If he's eating, he wants to be like him. Elliot is here. Let's get him in here. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Happy Friday to you. Hey, I always hate this or that type player debate, but last night we were hammered drunk and having this who would you rather take, and it's interesting y'all talking about Eli going to the Hall of Fame because is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer discussion began, and as a Steelers fan, I went back and forth with my buddy, and if you take Super Bowls out of it, who would you say is the better quarterback, Big Ben or Philip Rivers? Who would you rather have over their 10 years? Take all playoff success, all Super Bowls out, just, you know, regular season, mechanics, talent, all that. Can you guys help me settle this debate with this guy? He's listening too, so I need y'all to help me out with this.
Well, I'd have to look at their numbers, but I think they're pretty similar as far as if you take postseason. But okay, so why are you taking postseason out of it? I forget, but okay. If you're going to talk about who's the better quarterback and who played well when they really had to.
Well, some of it has to do with the infrastructure of the team you're playing with, like the Steelers, better franchise than the Chargers, no matter who's playing quarterback. So is that more of an advantage for Big Ben? And if Philip Rivers was thrown in with the Steelers in their infrastructure,
would he have the same type of success? What wide receivers they had?
All those things.
Huh.
I guess that's what he means, because the Steelers are – Ben got Super Bowls. That's going to help his cause.
But Ben Roethlisberger made plays. Ben was a playmaker. whether you like him or not or whatever, Eli was not a playmaker. Ben Roethlisberger's a legitimate playmaker.
Ben also led the league twice in interceptions.
Yeah, so did Brett Favre.
He also led the league in TD percentage, 6.3, which is really high. He led the league twice in yards. He had over 5,000 and 4,900.
Ben is a Hall of Famer to me.
Ben's a Hall of Famer.
Based on the NFL standards.
Right.
My standards would be a little tighter, but that's fine.
Once,
they're bringing him more food.
Once he had more
Ben Yates than now.
The most completions and in 2018, they really relied on him. 675 passes. Wow. He's a career 64% guy. TD percentage is 5. That's pretty good.
What's interception?
418 touchdowns, 211 interceptions, almost 2-1. Not quite. Phillip Rivers.
No, he's better than 2-1. What'd you say?
Before 22. If he was 418, it would be 422 would be double, would be 2-1.
I thought you said 481.
418.
Oh, okay.
Phillip Rivers, 421 touchdowns, 200. I mean, they're almost identical. Right. 63,000 yards. I mean, there's, they're very, very, the two are, that was my initial instinct is, they're really similar guys.
No, they are. And Phillip did more with less physically, which to me, I kind of give him a nod to hit a not good arm talent. He was a tremendous, both of them were tremendous competitors. Tremendous competitors. I think they played beyond, like Phillip Rivers played. Phillip Rivers did with Antonio Gates. Go look at Phillip Rivers' wide receivers. He had Vincent Jackson. He didn't have, now he had LaDainian Tomlinson, which is obviously another receiver for him. But he did not have primary receivers. He had Antonio Gates was his top option.
He led the league one time in passing attempts and touchdowns, I mean, and completions, which is the same as Ben. He led the league once in with 4,710 yards. He led the league once in 34 touchdowns. He led the league twice in interceptions, 18 and 21. They got almost identical careers. So I don't know who's better. I don't know. They're really, really, really
well,
similar.
Well, anytime you have that battle, it turns into the tiebreaker's always postseason.
Okay, but hold on. In the regular season, Ben was 165, 81, and 1. Phillip Rivers was 134 and 106.
Yeah. Well, but some of that you can't control.
No.
Like, was Phillip Rivers' play the reason they won, that they didn't win a certain amount of games? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Eli Manning's play was the reason the Giants lost some games. That's his problem. And when you think about, Rivers came in at the same time as they were in the same draft class, Rivers and Eli Manning. If I told you, all right, from 2014 or from 2004 to 2016, I'll do a 12-year span. Who were the best quarterbacks during that era? You're never mentioning Eli Manning.
No.
You're never mentioning Eli Manning. You're not going to do it.
Bye, Chelsea. Thank you.
You'll mention Drew Brees. You'll mention Mahomes. I mean, not Mahomes. Peyton Manning. You'll mention, obviously, Tom Brady. You'll mention Ben Roethlisberger. You're not going to mention. You might mention Phillip Rivers when you're coming down, when you're thinking about your list. Oh, okay, we got
Drew.
Him.
Yeah.
I mentioned Drew. That's five just off the top of my head. Eli doesn't even come. Maybe Donovan McNabb? McNabb was earlier, though, because he came into the league like 99, so I think that would be a little earlier. Although Donovan had some success. Romo?
Oh, I wouldn't put him with Phillip Rivers or with Ben. No.
I'd have to think about who else.
Okay. Brady, Manning, Breeze.
Those are the big three.
Big three.
Ben.
And then Ben and Phillip.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Right? Are we missing anybody in that era? I think. I mean, the one played 17 years. One Elliot, there's no answer to that. Both. I mean, there's literally.
No, my answer is going to be Ben Roethlisberger.
I think I'd lean Ben Roethlisberger as well, but it's not like it's, oh, my
Rivers
God.
But do you think Rivers gets in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
He had no postseason success.
Yeah. Yes, he gets in the Hall of Fame. He absolutely does.
Does Eli eventually get in? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no,
too. I think once you do that, you have now lowered the standards to anybody who gets to two Super Bowls and happens to win two MVPs, no matter what, because he wasn't a good regular season player. There's nothing about Eli Manning that's special. It's average at best relative to the standards of his generation, which is what you're judging him against. The standards of his generation, he is down probably at the best sixth, probably closer to seventh or eighth. How is that Hall of Fame worthy? It's not. And the voters don't think it is either.
Nope. But I can't see where's Phillip Rivers' postseason isn't even included in his Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he doesn't. You know, he had very limited. How many playoff games did Phillip Rivers actually play in?
Oh, they played in some. Where is his stats? Advanced passing.
It's not in here.
So, well, they have to be.
Yeah. Right.
He has to have postseason.
It doesn't have postseason in his pro football.
Well, I'll look at game reference. Long, but yeah, I'm looking at it as well. I know he played. So he was the quarterback when Marty Schottenheimer got fired.
No.
Here it is. Phillip Rivers in the postseason. Yeah, he played plenty of games. Phillip, he had 12 games.
And?
In the postseason. In that postseason, he won 5, lost 7. He was 1 and done. 1, 2, 3. Well, okay, let's look how he played. 16 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. It's worse than his
regular.
No. Completed 59% of his passes.
Worse
than regular. 7.39 yards per attempt. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to, you know, here's a, well, you know, he had 331 yards and 3 touchdown passes. You think that's really good. He completed 49% of his passes. He had 51 passes against New England. They were behind the whole game. That was just, you know, that was just adding to stats because you had to throw a lot. Yeah, Ben's postseason. Ben could put a team on his back.
Yeah.
Ben was a player who could put a team on his back. So he's a Hall of Famer for sure. But it's interesting. Rivers, you know, but the one guy that shouldn't come up in that conversation is Eli Manning, and that's kind of where we are now.
Ben is 13-10 in the postseason, 63%. He's got 36 touchdowns and 28 interceptions. Not as good as he was in the regular season. Yeah. He 7.6 yards an attempt, not as good as he is in the regular season. Neither guy was really as good, but Ben had more success. Ben won a Super Bowl. So
Ben had a drive to win a Super Bowl that was a Ben Roethlisberger drive.
Yes.
He had been sacked a bunch on literally in his own end zone. He goes the length of the field for a touchdown against Arizona. I mean, case closed. That's his Super Bowl moment. And, yeah, I don't think we're litigating whether or not Ben should get in. He's going to get in.
I think they're both getting in. I think HRNP is a Hall of Fame company that will help your business be great. Do you want your business to be great? Do you want your business to be as good as it can possibly be? Do you want to bring your payroll to your people perfectly? Do you want your payroll to be, as easy as possible? We've got one person that works in our payroll, and that's Laura. That's it. I mean, she takes care of everything. And how many people are in your payroll department now? How big is that growing? How many people are in your HR department now? How many people do you have to take to pay a CPA to do your taxes? I mean, all of these things. And what are your benefits, your insurance package? How are they? Are they any good? Because HRP gives you choices as opposed to admin companies that stick you with theirs. That's not what happens at HRP. 401k plans, insurance plans, all of those things. HRP gives you choices. The other guys don't. So if you're with an admin company and you're going, wow, it seems to be we're paying them a lot of money. Yeah, you're paying them a lot of money because, well, you're just doing it wrong. So if you want to take a look and let HRP take a look at your business and tell you how they can make it better, how they can save you money, how they can put more money to the bottom line at HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.